Last month was the 40th anniversary of the first Star Wars movie, in which Han shot first. The film became famous for many, many things: the music, special effects, the characters, and it also became known for the way it did business, especially merchandising. Along with big, big box office, Star Wars also brought big-time merchandising to the cinema. And we're going to talk about some of that locally, in fact. Gary Darna is here to talk about all the things made right here in town with Kenner Toys. Gary, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so let's talk about Kenner Toys for just a second. They started out here in 1947, and they did a whole bunch of cool stuff. I mean, the thing I remember most of all was the girder and panel building sets. They did the Give-A-Show projector, the Easy Bake Oven, the Spirograph. I mean, they did a whole bunch of stuff here.
Yes, they did. And, you know, before the Star Wars movie actually came out, they made a ton of merchandise. The first toy was actually a bubble gun called the Bubble-Matic. And from there, they just continued innovating with various toys. Star Wars, though, really put them on the map in the toy industry and changed merchandising for movies entirely.
No, Kenner Toys almost, well, they weren't the first choice for the Star Wars deal, were they?
That's correct. As far as I know, actually, they tried to get Mattel and Hasbro, two other toy companies, to produce the toys first. And multiple companies actually turned down the license. They thought that the movie would be a flop and that in a year no one would care about it. But it was actually a person that worked at Kenner that read the script from George Lucas and brought it to the president of Kenner at the time and convinced him to make the toys. His argument was that everything in a movie was toyetic. Basically, the spaceships, the characters, the planets, everything could be turned into a toy or some type of merchandise that kids would love.
In what position was Kenner 40 years ago when the movie came out?
My understanding is that, you know, they were a successful toy company. They had a number of products that had been a big hit, but they were not at the size of Hasbro or Mattel, which were, of course, the leaders with things like Barbie and G.I. Joe.
And then they picked up Star Wars in 76. The movie became huge, and then Kenner built on that?
Yes, that's correct. I believe the contract actually wasn't signed until like the early 1977. And that's one of the reasons why when a movie came out on May 25th of 1977, there was no toys available. And that's very different from today because now, for example, this September, Disney will be releasing merchandise months ahead of The Last Jedi, which is episode 8. At the time, though, in 1977, that's not the way movie merchandising worked. So they actually came up with this innovative approach to merchandising in 77, which was to sell a pre-order for Star Wars action figures called the Early Bird Certificate Kit.
Now, is this something that was promoted to the consumers?
Yes. So you would go to the store and essentially buy a 4-pack of figures, but there were no figures inside. So it was a pre-order for figures that you would receive in 1978. So kids on Christmas morning opened up a box that essentially said, you know, here's your rain check for action figures. And, you know, when they're available, we'll mail them to you.
Now, when Kenner started putting these things out, what kind of merchandise are we talking about? I mean, action figures, of course, but what kind of actual figures, what devices did Kenner sell then?
The first 12 figures were the, you know, some of the main characters from the movie, and those didn't actually come out until 1978. So oftentimes you see people refer to these figures as being released in 1977, when in fact they weren't available in stores until 78. But in addition to the miniature action figures, they also made puzzles, coloring books, and other items related to the movie, but weren't necessarily like a little toy.
Now, Star Wars, when that came out, I mean, it was huge. It was incredible. And for a summertime movie, it had legs. I mean, it was just so very popular for the rest of the year and Christmas and, you know, for ages, it seemed. And Kenner was able to take advantage.
Definitely. Merchandised it unlike any movie before that. The way things are merchandised now is Kenner is responsible for that.
So let's talk about you. Are you a fan of Star Wars?
Definitely. So I actually saw the movie when I was 10 years old. I'm 32.
How many action figures do you have?
My estimate is I have over 1,000 pieces of Star Wars merchandise in my collection.
And they're all still in the boxes and stuff?
Not all of them. Not all of them are action figures either. I mean, that's my main focus is the vintage Kenner figures that were released in the 70s and 80s. However, I have everything from Star Wars vitamins still in a box, a life-size R2-D2 Pepsi cooler. I even have a complete set of Pepperidge Farm Star Wars cookies from 1983 that are still sealed. I would not want to eat those.
Now, you're not the only person in the world like this.
That is very true. In fact, there are people that have way more impressive collections than I do with things like prototypes, movie props, actual pieces of the movie. And these items are oftentimes like one-of-a-kind pieces that you couldn't go to the store and buy them.
It's amazing, too, that just every little official thing connected with that movie has over the years become quite valuable and collectible even.
Yes, that is true. And something that really made it unique, and this was also part of what Kenner's strategy was, is that every alien, even if it had 2 seconds of screen time, you know, they made it into a figure. I mean, not every single character, but there's a lot of obscure characters that really had very minor role in the films and yet still made it into a toy form.
Well, okay, let's take a character who actually, I don't think he was in the first movie originally. It was Jabba the Hutt, who I think was mentioned in the first movie. We didn't get to actually see him until the third movie, but he got inserted digitally with the newer version of the first movie, right?
That's correct. When they released a special edition in 1977, they added him in.
Right. So did Kenner do anything with Jabba the Hutt?
Yes. In 1983, they released a Jabba the Hutt action playset, which essentially was the Jabba the Hutt action figure along with this throne that he would sit on. And you would be able to open it up, and inside of it was supposed to be the Rancor pit, which is, you know, the pit that Luke and, you know, several other characters fall into.
And all these things that came out, I wonder if you could tell me, how much are some things worth? You know, compare the price of just picking it up off the shelf or the certificate for the figure when it would come out. Compare that to what something like that might be worth today.
The price is they're all over the place. It really depends on the condition and what specific version of a figure you have. So, for example, if you have a figure that is from 1980 and it's still on the card with a clear bubble and it's unpunched, meaning, you know, the actual like hole that it was on the shelf with is still intact, then those can be worth anywhere from hundreds to thousands of dollars, depending on what figure it is and what variation of it. A great example is the Jawa figure. There's two versions of that. You have the cloth cape one, which is a more common, and then you have the more rare one, which is the vinyl cape Jawa. And a vinyl cape Jawa just sold for over $20,000 at an auction. That was a Palitoy version, which was the United Kingdom version of Kenner. It was essentially the same figures, but they licensed out the molds to this toy company in the UK.
Okay, and how much would that have gone for originally?
A few dollars at most, like $1.99.
Now, Kenner Toy, a local company, what happened to Kenner? I mean, they don't exist as such now, do they?
They do not. So a company called Hasbro actually acquired them in the 1990s. And that was after a series of toy lines they produced for various movies. And these movies just, you know, they were not a hit at the box office. For example, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
That was Kevin Costner, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So they made toys for that movie. In fact, they actually reused a lot of the Star Wars figures from 1983 and vehicles for that particular toy line. But that movie, like many others, was not very successful. And they had a string of those where they produced a ton of toys. They didn't sell like they expected them to. And that caused a financial strain for the company.
Now, I know that when the first Indiana Jones movie came out, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Kenner was still around then. And they simply took Han Solo molds and models and made Indiana Jones. I mean, that was an easy one to do. But you were telling me before we started recording that some of the Star Wars dolls were actually used in making Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That is true. The Bespin, Luke Skywalker, which is when he's on the Cloud City planet, that figure they used in Raiders of the Lost Ark. They put a little paper hat on him and painted the figure to make it look like a German soldier for one of the distant shots where they needed a group of soldiers.
Did you have a chance to see the Star Wars costume exhibit at the terminal?
I did, and it's a funny story because it was my birthday, and my team actually took me out to go see that. Some of the costumes were just incredible. You know, to see them in person and the detail that went into creating these things is really a great opportunity for everyone here to go see.
And were you able to say, hey, I've got a smaller version of that?
Yes, there was a lot of costumes that are on figures that I have. The little Kenner ones aren't necessarily as accurate as some of the modern day figures, but that's part of their charm, is that they're, you know, so intricate, but in a different way than today.
And also, do you know about the costumes that were shown at the exhibit there? Do you know if any Star Wars costumes have gone on the market over the years?
I don't have a specific example, but I do know that things like that show up in people's collections and private collections. I think a couple years ago, it was actually one of the bikinis that Princess Leia wears in Return of the Jedi was sold at auction, I believe, for hundreds of thousands of dollars, or possibly even more than that. And I don't think it was a screen-used one, and that's important to note. Just because a costume is at auction doesn't necessarily mean it was the one that was seen on the screen. But regardless, it's a piece of movie history when someone acquires something like that.
Well, Gary Darna, big-time Star Wars fan, and also knows all about Kenner Toy Company, too. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us about your collection and about Kenner Toys and how Cincinnati has a big part of the Force.
Thank you for having me.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.